Wow, wow, wow. Jeremy, thank you. Thank you for the years. Oh, goodness. A little kid in children's church didn't quite get the Lord's Prayer down correctly. Our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen. A wife invited some people to dinner. At the table, she turned to their six-year-old daughter and said, "Would you like to say the blessing?" She responded, "I wouldn't know what to say." The mother said, "Just say what you hear mommy say." The daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" Ouch. After the christening of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him three times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on the way to church service, "Why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" One bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." Why don't you open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi, the Italian prophet. And go to the fourth chapter. I just got back last night from, I went to Germany and Switzerland and Portugal and had such a wonderful time. I had a wonderful privilege of speaking in a church that in Switzerland, I forget the name of the city, but anyway, it's in 1850, there was a very ordinary, simple woman that just believed that Jesus still wanted to heal people. And I forgot how to say her last name. Forgive me. Dorothy Trudell. Yeah. Is it Trudell? All right. I'll stick with that then. Dorothy Trudell. And she actually, in many ways, is the mother or grandmother of the healing movement that we see today. It actually started then. She actually created healing homes, where people would come that were dying, that were very sick, and she would spend time with them, ministering to them, praying for them. This is when it was unheard of. And she was the inspiration for John Alexander Dowie having his healing homes. I know I had somebody working for me for a season that I just hired them to do some research for me. And she was reading through the records of John Alexander Dowie, who was the inspiration for John G. Lake and others. And he had healing homes. And I forget the exact number, but I believe it was in a certain like 7-8 period year of time, he had something like, oh goodness, $5,500 people come and stay in the healing rooms that needed a miracle, people that were dying. And I think only 6 died. They're all dying, and only, I think it was 6 died in that period of time. Truth has greater fruit when it moves from the head to the heart and you burn with a conviction for something. Faith is the conviction of things hoped for. It's really easy for all of us to hear truth spoken, even to read truths in Scripture, and to say amen to those things. But it's what you burn for that you'll produce. And in Switzerland, I was able to do a service in that in the church that was built at the location where Dorothy Trudell started her ministry. And Jean-Luc Trascal, who's a wonderful friend of ours, he's been praying for this particular open door for 15 years. And there has been no opening at all to healing being practiced there. It was quite the opposite. And so to be there when the doors were open and to be able to stand in that pulpit and to declare that Jesus still heals today and then to begin ministering to people, it's just such a great honor. It's hard to describe. To get into a place that has been closed, I don't know if they've had healing meetings there in like forever. And, you know, it was 1850 when she was there. And so they've been closed to that for quite some time. And for Jean-Luc to contend for that open door and to get in there and to have that kind of a meeting was a real, real treat, a real blessing. And the Lord is just opening doors where they've always been closed. A few years ago, I was actually in Sweden and got to minister in a church that had, as I understand it, had never had a healing meeting. I was in this big cathedral, and they had never had a healing meeting there, as I understand, in 400 years. So it was the first one. And that was pretty exciting to get in there and just to start praying for people and just see what happens. It was just a great privilege to be there. And we had to be out by a certain time, so we just took it out onto the streets, and there was a city square right around the corner. And so we started praying for people out there. And one of the guys that was in the meeting inside went out into the courtyard with us. And he was he had cancer in the neck, the throat area, and it was terminal. And he was healed. He was healed in the courtyard. He actually, either he did or his relative or whatever, contacted us later in the trip. We were in some other city, and he had gone back, and they had examined him, and all the cancer was gone. So these open doors and these key places, they're just, they're supposed to signify something. And I had a little change in direction tonight down here during worship. So I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk to you about a new day of miracles. A new day of miracles. And we're going to read a portion of Scripture out of Malachi chapter 4. And then you might want to put a finger in Psalms 19, and because we might do that one too, all right? And then if I'm in a real good mood, we might do Psalms 8 too. Actually, no, I'm teasing. I actually was going to teach out of Psalms 8 today, but I had a little change in heart. So, all right, guys, ready? Malachi chapter 4, Verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And you will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. And I'm so tempted to make comment, but I won't. And you shall grow fat, there's a promise. You shall grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked. They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Let's go ahead and read to the end of the chapter. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I love this kind of a chapter. We're going to get into verse 2 here in a moment. But I love this kind of scripture that uses all these different, this imagery of the Lord. He will arise with healing in his wings, calling him the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, not S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness, because it's like the sunrise. And there's this passage in Psalms 19, which says the sun comes out of its tabernacle like a bridegroom coming out of a chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Strange picture that the sun rises in the morning like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Malachi says that he is the Son of Righteousness and he rises with healing in his wings. And you will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves, trampling wickedness under your feet. There's a great picture here of a last day's promise, or a promise to a last day's generation. The Son of Righteousness, I want you to see the connection between the bridegroom coming out of a stall, the sun rising, righteousness and healing. Healing is connected to the holiness and purity of God. In the measure we value holiness and purity, in that measure we will see continuous displays of healing. Healing is important to us because in healing, the name of the Lord is vindicated. It is actually for him. When Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church before his conversion, Jesus appeared to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He takes things personal. In Matthew 25, he says, "When you give a cup of cold water to one of these in my name, you've done it unto me." The servants of the Lord stood before him on that day and said, "When did we give you water? When did we clothe you? When did we come to visit you?" And he said, "When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." This is a very kind of a bizarre weaving of the romance of God for people, the demonstration of his purity. The scripture says it's in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is the essence of all beauty. All that you love in beauty, in its purest form, is an expression of the holiness of God. The holiness of God has things that you do and things that you don't do, but only to preserve love. God always opposes anything that is contrary to love. He opposes everything that would destroy your place in being loved. When holiness is such a glorious subject from God's perspective. It's the essence of his person. To not value holiness is to not value presence. Because the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. By nature, his very essence is absolute purity, undefiled in every possible way. There's zero compromise. There's zero failure. There's zero deception. There's zero anything that would contaminate this perfect expression of God's heart and his nature towards humanity. Healing is an expression of his holiness. Sickness is to my body what sin is to my soul. Jesus asked the question when they lowered this man through the roof. His friends lowered him. It was actually the faith of his friends. It wasn't the sick man's faith. It says of Jesus, when he saw their faith, referring to the men that lowered him into the room, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." And it stirred up such controversy in the room because the people were getting accustomed to him healing people, but this whole issue of him forgiving sin crossed the line for many of them. And so Jesus asked the question, which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Rise up, pick up your bed and walk"? And once again, he put these two subjects like two sides of the same coin, the forgiveness of sin, the healing of disease. They are a part of the same, they are this, two different parts of the expression of God's redemptive work. When the concept of salvation was brought from the back burner to the front burner in the Reformation, I don't want to say it disappeared through the church age, but it had been kind of swept to the back. And when it was brought to the front burner again, for some reason, they didn't include healing in salvation. It was viewed as something that God could do if he wanted to, but it wasn't considered a part of the package. And yet the word salvation actually means deliverance, healing, forgiveness. It actually refers to those three realms. These are three realms of the kingdom: forgiveness, deliverance, and healing. For that reason, the Apostle Paul said the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, because that deals with the sin issue, peace, because that deals with the torment issue, and joy, because that is the expression of healing. That's why laughter is good medicine. So healing is an expression of the righteousness of God. So here we have the kingdom of God. It's not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When someone is healed, let me rephrase it. Something that we've declared a number of times here through the years is that we pray for the sick because we want Jesus to get what he paid for. If I bought you a car, let's have Bill Gates buying it, because then it would be a nicer car. So let's say somebody buys you a car and they go down to the dealership down here and they buy the car of your dreams. Maybe there's not a dealership in Reading with a car of your dreams, so let's get you down to the Bay Area. And they go in there and They write up the contract. They write a check for the entire amount of this very fine car that you have. And they pay for the first income tax because you've received such a large gift. The person pays for your insurance for the first 5 years. Everything's covered. Everything's covered. And it's yours. But it's at the dealership. It'd be kind of dumb to go down there and to pay for a car that's already paid for. And yet a lot of people are trying to pay for what Jesus has already paid for. It's already been purchased. Illustration that I've given a number of times to you that is fun for me because it illustrates this thing so beautifully. When Chris and Kathy moved down here to be a part of the team, he owned a number of businesses and closed them down and moved here to help us. And he still had some debt because of closing these businesses down. But he didn't announce it. He didn't tell anyone, but we're close friends, so I knew what he brought with him. And I remember I was standing back there just greeting people or saying goodbye to folks after they left, when they left after a Sunday morning service. And a lady came up to me and said, is Chris here? And she had a check folded in half. She said, is Chris here? I said, no, he's preaching. He was preaching somewhere else that morning, but he'll be here tonight. And she said, would you give this to him? I said, sure. So I took it and I waited till she walked around the corner. It wasn't in a sealed envelope. It was like she wanted me to see it. That's just the way I felt. She wanted me to see it. So after she walked around the corner, I flipped it open. And it said $30,000. And then I looked to make sure it was his name. And it was. So I thought, well, that's cool. So I put it in my Bible, knowing I'd see him in our pre-service prayer meeting. So I was in there, we're in there praying and stuff, and Chris walks in. So I walk over to him. I said, hey, Chris, someone gave this to me this morning for you. He looked at me, he said, does that say $3,000? I said, no, it's $30,000. It's for you. And he just ruined the entire prayer meeting. Just, you know, people are praying and he's, look what somebody gave me. And he's showing them this $30,000 check, which is a great answer to prayer for them. And you know, the crazy thing was, he never thanked me for all that money. Never said thank you at all. Because I didn't write the check. I just delivered the check. And when you pray for the sick, you're just delivering a check somebody else wrote. It's already bought and paid for. And so here it says, the sun of righteousness will rise. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus becoming more manifest among his people, like a sunrise. And there's healing in his wing. Interesting, the word wings there can be translated edge of a garment. Habakkuk talks about the healing rays that come out of the hands. I'm not trying to make it spooky. I'm just saying when he shows up, you know, you got to expect stuff to happen. And so here the Son of Righteousness rises among his people. What does the sun rise? It's the beginning of a new day. We're about to see not power for entertainment's sake, power to illustrate the holiness of God. Power that illustrates, demonstrates, manifests the holiness of God against all that contaminates his people. But that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story is for the people of God to taste what he bought for us. Why? So that we can take it to the people who need it, those who are outside the church. I was this last week in Portugal, had such a wonderful time, and we went out to just hang out for a few minutes following a meeting, and Ben Fitzgerald and Jean-Luc found this man walking into the back of this restaurant area, and they went over and started up conversation with him, and moments later, I see them kneeling down around his knee. They're grabbing his knee and praying for him. And they had some word of knowledge or something for this guy, you know, just this innocent guy walking through. To them, he had neon lights, you know. Yeah. Me, pick me. And so they kneeled down. It was fun to watch. I just sat there and watched them. And they laid hands on him. They held his knee. And Ben said, "Man, did you feel that?" The guy said, "Yes, I did." And his knee was cracking and popping and moving around, and the Lord completely healed the guy. And it was fun to watch. Fun to watch. See, divine health is your inheritance. Now, we don't know a lot about it yet, but it doesn't mean it's not true. You got to ask questions, got to look in the book. There's insights there that will unfold to us in years to come. But don't deny it because you don't understand it. The children of Israel had divine health in the wilderness. Who were they? They were not born again. They're in rebellion against God. And they experienced divine health. It would be tragic to come to the end of time and have the only generation that experienced divine health to be a people that were not born again in rebellion against God. So it needs to matter. This is the knowledge to the burning conviction, where we contend for the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of God to actually be on display in every part of our life. And so they shook hands with this gentleman and just sharing the Lord with him. And the guy said, "Hi, my name's Bob." And Jean-Luc said, he said, "It's so good to meet you." He says, "It's interesting because I have a friend in the United States by the name of Bob Harrison." And he looked at me and said, "I didn't tell you my last name. How did you know my last name?" That was fun to watch because Jean-Luc heard when he said Bob, he heard Bob Harrison. And it wasn't until afterwards he found out he didn't give his last name. Needless to say, that had his attention. "How did you know my last name?" So he got healed. Word of knowledge operated that God knows him, identified him. See, this is the normal expression of the gospel. But as long as we have hang-ups on experiencing that which already belongs to us, it will be magnified as we try to take it out of the house to the people whose hearts could be won with a simple word, a simple gift, a simple prayer. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. There's a result to that. You go out like and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That may be an offensive picture to you. But there's youth involved. Fat was health. Well fed. And then trample the powers of darkness. You need a certain weight to trample. The Son of Righteousness arising, announcing a new day, holiness, purity, power, working in tandem, will cause the people of God to rise up with a level of health, personal health, and authority. Let me describe fatness as an expression of the anointing in authority that enables us to crush and destroy powers of darkness that have afflicted and tormented people. You're going to see in your own personal life the opportunity to bring deliverance to people It's not just healing. People need to be set free from demons that have tormented them. And I tell you, it's not been popular in the American church, but they're there. And seeing people free is just such a great privilege for us. I remember, this is just fresh on my mind because of this last week, when my former secretary, Judy Franklin, how many of you remember Judy? Such a sweet one, such a great help to me, still is actually. She lives in Nashville now with her daughter, but still works for me, helping in the ministry. But when she, within a short time after starting to work for me, she was, actually, she was in the back, and her husband came up to me and said, "Would you pray for Judy?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And she has this kidney infection or something, and she was in the back. He went back to get her, came out here, and I prayed for her. And she, I said, how are you doing? She said, "Do you want to know the truth?" I said, "Yes, of course I want to know the truth." She said, "It's worse." And I said, "That's good. Amen. That's awesome. Because now we know what it is." Because see, anytime an affliction gets more painful under prayer, it's because the anointing torments a demon. And the reason he'll increase the pain is to try to bring fear to the person who's sick and fear to the person who's praying. Why do you think when the disciples tried to cast the demons out of the child, remember the dad in Mark 9 brought his child to the disciples to be healed and delivered, and the demon threw him in the fire and the water, tried to kill him, and he's foaming at the mouth on the ground, and this huge scene. Why is he creating a scene? To create fear in the people doing the ministry. See, anytime the devil is in the open, that's his last card. That's not his best card. His best card is hiding in the pew. His best card is trying to stay concealed in a religious setting, unrecognized, unidentified. So whenever he's flushed into the open, his last effort is to try to instigate or ignite fear in people. And so he does so with extreme manifestations. And the disciples couldn't deliver. And they were experienced in deliverance. And so the father saw Jesus, brought the child to Jesus, and he delivered him. As soon as he did, the disciples took Jesus aside and said, "How come we couldn't do it?" And it was a legitimate question because they had experience. He had already entrusted them to go to their hometowns, and they saw great amounts of healing and deliverance. And they were shocked when it didn't work. So that tells me they already had a history of success. And how would you like to be shocked when it didn't work instead of shocked when it worked? Yeah. Amen. And Jesus said this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. It's a profound lesson that some obstacles only removed with prayer and fasting. But for me, the bigger lesson is that when the disciples didn't get an answer, they took Jesus aside. They had to find out why. They were not willing to live with an unanswered prayer. The lack of conviction, the lack of a burning heart enables us to coexist with unanswered prayers and it not mattering. And so the Lord is stirring up a zeal that's based on the righteousness and purity of God. A zeal that helps to bring about a new day of miracles, a new day of the demonstration of God for people. Deliverance is, I believe, going to become much more pronounced. So get ready. Get ready. My prayer is that the Lord would help us to see the beauty of His holiness. Anytime you think of holiness and the fact that He has made us holy, think of the fact that He has made us beautiful. It's actually the beauty of God. Everything in creation that is beautiful, that is not perverted and distorted, is based on the beauty of God Himself. So tonight, we're going to pray for people. Yep, we are. Again, but we're going to do it now, so. Through the years, we've seen quite a few miracles. In fact, I was walking through the sanctuary early this morning just praying for the release of what we've seen God do here. I remember right over here, a gentleman was visiting us that had dyslexia so severe. He was actually a pastor, but he almost didn't become one because he couldn't read. And he'd have to study by listening to the Bible being read on the CD or whatever. And he came to visit us, visit the church. He comes from a church that has good history in miracles, but he hasn't seen any for quite a while. And he came here, people had encouraged him to come. And as he told to me, he said, I basically came just to get it off my list so I could keep the people around him from harassing him, get him to stop. You know, they kept encouraging him to come. And it was actually Sunday morning. He sat right over there. And I had mentioned something about God healing head trauma and learning disorders, that sort of thing. There's somebody here that things are foggy. The word I heard was cloudy. Cloudy in your thinking. It's either due to an injury or some sort of a disease, something that has hit the brain that I believe tonight the Lord's going to lift. And as I mentioned this on this particular Sunday morning, the guy, now he's very open and honest about it. He said he almost was at a point of mocking what was happening in the meeting. And then I mentioned his condition. And he sat there saying, oh God, don't let my hardness of heart mess up this chance for me to have a miracle. And he actually said that after he felt the presence and power of God come upon his head, and he realized that his own heart condition was inconsistent with God, what God was doing. In other words, it was not his faith. It was the sovereign touch of God. And he just sat there, and the Lord completely healed him. He went from not being able to read to reading, I think it was, he said, 6 to 8 hours a day after that. He would read and read and read and read and read, just completely healed. I feel like the Lord is healing cloudiness in the brain. Is that you? All right. There may be others. Put your hand up if that's anyone who has that issue. Let me ask this question just for my own curiosity. For how many of you that just raised your hand, is it due to an injury or an accident of some sort? Put your hand up. All right. Put your hands down. How many of you it's due to some sort of a disease, some sort of a maybe a chemical imbalance or a disease? We've had viruses hit the brain, and put your hands up. All right, quite a few. This will be good because the Lord is going to heal the brain. He's going to heal the brain. I was in Dallas and had I was actually on the stage this particular gathering. They had all the pastors and stuff on the stage. So they brought this guy to me. He had eaten some bad meat, and there were worms in the meat. Now, this is just weird, but he had eaten the meat, and somehow the worms had worked their way to his brain, and they had created nests all around his brain. He was so heavily medicated. It was like, in the movies, the zombie or something. They just walked him, and they just kind of steered him, walked him, because he was so heavily medicated. He was dying. They were able to, through treatments, they were able to kill the worms, but they couldn't get rid of the nesting, and it had crystallized in the brain, and he was dying. And so they walked him in, prayed for him, and as I was praying for him, I just felt something lift off him. Now, he's still heavily medicated, but I was able to communicate with him. I said, Did you feel that leave? And he just slowly nodded his head. He did. He felt something lifted off of him. And we had relatives visit us sometime later that told us. I think it was 3 days later, he was completely in his right mind. Everything was gone. The Lord had healed. Amen. I believe Jesus is healing the brain. If you have a learning disorder, get in on this. Chemical imbalance, get in on this. Bipolar, get in. Anything. We've had, I think it's about 60 that I know of, cases of bipolar healed. And so you might as well get in on it, and let's just watch and see what Jesus will do. There's someone who has injured a tendon in the right leg. And there's still, it's an injury, and there's still a lingering effects from that. Is that you? It's in the right leg, the tendon? Okay. There's another one back here. Oh, this will be good. All right. Good. Someone else? All right. Got more. Okay. All right. Back over here. There's somebody who has, I don't know if it's a detached retina, but there's something to do with the eye, and there's either a growth or a detached retina. There's something of that nature that is seriously damaged and affecting your eyesight. Is that here? All right. Is there anybody else with that way in the back? All right. Right here. Okay. All right. Thanks. You guys have anything down here? Any? Yeah.
Torn cartilage, something in the shoulder socket.
Is it the right shoulder? Right shoulder, something torn in this area here. Torn. There's a tear in either muscle or cartilage perhaps or whatever. All right, there's several over there. All right. Okay, right here. All right. Any others here?
The back seizes.
Does that make sense? I'm assuming the tightening of muscles sort of a thing in the back. Where is that? I see people point. Oh, right here, right in front of me. Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. We have several. Yeah, it just seizes up. Okay. Well, we'll break that thing off because that's not to remain. All right. The Son of Righteousness is rising and is healing in his wings. The healing rays, the lightning rays of God are destroying works of darkness. So I want all of you that raised your hand to stand up if you would. If there's anyone here with cancer and or a terminal disease of any kind, please stand as well. Yep. I just heard the word palate. I don't know, it has something to do with the palate. Is there anybody that has an issue? Is that right? You back here? Okay. Palate, all right. Deviated septum, blockage in a nostril. Who has that? All right. Anybody that's not standing have that? Good. We've got people standing. They're asking for an overhaul tonight here. So keep raising their hands. No. All right. All right. Deviated septum, blockage in one or both nostrils. Okay. All right. There's someone who has it. I'm hesitant to call it deafness, loss of hearing. It feels like something's blocking your ear, especially the right ear. It almost feels like something's in there, but does that make sense to anyone? That makes sense to you? All right. Well, if you're not standing, get in on this one, because we're going to just have Jesus remove whatever's blocking the hearing. It's a strange sensation, but I can feel it. It's not deafness, but it does feel like something is blocking, and I don't know what that would be. But all right, we've got all these people standing, and today is their day. They are not... They are not standing for prayer, they're standing for healing. And those of you that are sitting, I'm going to ask you to deliver a check that someone else wrote. I want you to pay attention to the Holy Spirit as you minister to them, as you pray for them. Pay attention, because you're going to pray with authority, and I want you to speak to the condition. If there's an issue of head trauma, those of you will be praying for those with accidents. I want you to rebuke the spirit of trauma. I want you to declare over them, this trauma ends tonight. It ends tonight. You will not afflict them any longer. Speak to the condition. And as best you know how, release the healing grace of Jesus to restore their bodies. Now, I'm going to ask an unusual favor. I don't want you to pray, husbands and wives pray together, because you have already done that. I want you to have fresh meat, a fresh target. I want you to have someone to pray for that you probably haven't prayed for already. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Everyone who's standing, put a hand up. Those of you that are sitting down, you know what, before we do this, I'm sorry, put your hands down. Some of you, I think, are already healed, so you need to check yourself out. Just without any prayer, start examining yourself. That tendon thing in the leg, start moving it around. The deal in the ear, the head trauma, the confusion. Just start examining yourself in any way you can. Just do it quickly. And as soon as you discover that you're already healed, wave both hands over your head like this so we can see you. Right down here. That's awesome. Another one there. Another one here. Another one right there. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Man, listen, we've got a huge Bethel family watching on Bethel TV. And man, you guys get in on this, because we've had through the years so many extraordinary miracles literally just released through the TV. We actually had this happen in Switzerland just this last week. Miracles that were online by people just watching. So I want to encourage you to get in this. All right. Now, put your hands up. Bethel family, visitors, guests, I want you to go to someone who has their hand up, but listen to me, do not talk or start praying yet. Just go to them, have them put their hand down, because I got to get further instruction. Man, that's the quietest you've ever been. That's awesome. It's amazing. Just have them put their hand down when you get to them. Okay, we still have a couple here in the middle. To my left, somebody way in the back there. There's a gentleman right here. Another one there, another one there. We've still got about five people through here. So, six, seven. So I need, if there's two or three praying for one, one of you split off. And there we go. We still have a gentleman over here. If you're about to pray for someone and it still has their hand up, would you pull their hand down for them? Since they forgot what they were supposed to. Thank you. Thank you. Pull it down. Pull it down. There we go. It's hard to pray for the sick in worshiping churches because they just keep their hands up. All right. I asked you to not talk or pray yet because one of my responsibilities is to make sure everybody has somebody ready to serve them and minister to them. What I want you to do is you've got to find out the problem. But those of you that are wanting prayer, please keep it extremely brief. They don't need to know what color of truck hit you, you know, and what year it was. And just give them a target. You know, I was in an accident. I had a blow to the head, and I've had confusion ever since. Keep it that simple. And then those of you that are doing the praying, one of the ways that Jesus taught us to pray was to lay hands on the sick. So just lay a hand on them and begin to pray. But as soon as you have that confidence, that faith stirrup in your heart, address the situation. Speak to it. Jesus actually never asked the Father to heal anyone. I've never been able to find it. He always would speak to the problem. And I'm going to ask you to do the same, all right? So Holy Spirit, we do invite you, come now with great power and glorify the name of Jesus through miracles, through signs, through wonders. Let the righteousness of God be seen in this room right now, vindicating the people of God from the afflictions that have been released at them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Go ahead, find out how to pray for them. Pray your best prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increase, increase this breakthrough anointing here, God. Increase, increase this breakthrough anointing. Okay, you should be praying by now. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you've got about 30 seconds. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead and end your prayer if you would. But stay with the person. Don't leave them. Don't leave them. Okay. Shh. Now, just give me your attention briefly. Shh. This next part is where you put faith into an action and you try to do something you couldn't do, or in some way try to examine yourself. I consider this next moment to be as important as was the prayer. I visibly have seen a miracle released when the person took an action. Is when they didn't take an action, there was no recovery at all. And when they took a faith-filled action, I saw the miracle released into their body. And so I want to encourage you. I don't want anyone pretending. Nobody needs to do this. No hype. Just examine to see what Jesus has done. And as soon as you're at least 80% better, for any condition. I want you to wave both hands over your head. But check yourself right now, and then we'll have you wave your hands over your head. Do it for about 15 seconds or so. Examine yourself, wave the hands over your head. We'll celebrate with you what God has done. Beautiful. Okay. Shh. All right. How many of you just got healed? Wave a hand at me. Put your hand up high. I want to see who you are. Yeah, all around the room. That's so good. So good. So good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Jesus ministered to a blind man twice on one occasion before he could see perfectly. So we owe it to people to be ready to minister to them at least twice. Turn and pray again. If they're 100%, don't pray again. You might mess them up. Leave them alone. Maybe have them pray for you or something. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
People are being healed online. Yep. Just got a report. Take about another minute as you pray for them. If you're praying for somebody with that plugged right ear, pull the plug. Pull it. Pull the plug. Okay, about 30 seconds. We'll wrap it up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Go ahead, end the prayer, but stay with the person again. Everyone, you know what to do. Examine yourself, please. And wave your hands over your head. If you're at least 80% better in any area, wave your hand. Yeah. Celebrate. Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Wonderful. People all over the room. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, wow. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Thank you so much, you guys, for running all over the room to pray for people. I love it. Okay, go ahead and find your places if you would. A part of our story is that through the years, people would come here even during the week. And there were times where we'd have a secretary praying for deliverance for somebody. I remember our gal who was answering the phone once, we were praying for deliverance for somebody. There was somebody very tormented, and she had left the phone, and we were ministering deliverance to this person. The phone rang, and so she went to answer the phone. She wasn't thinking. She didn't say, "Good morning, Bethel Church." She said, I plead the blood of Jesus. And the power of God hit the person on the other end of the phone. They were laid out. It was a very interesting season. We had one time where, if you know where the offices are over here, in the front office, there were bodies all over the floor. People had just been hammered by God. And they were just laying all over. And one of the members of the church came by to bring their tithe check. And they were just walking up the sidewalk, and they looked into the office. I watched her do this. She looked into the office. She saw the bodies. She looked at her watch and realized she had to get back to work. And if she went in there, she would not recover. So she turned around. But what has been so fun through the years is people will wait in line to get in for a meeting and be healed in line. Someone will see them in a condition, will pray, their deaf ear will open, whatever it might be. In our last church business meeting, some of the team was sharing about some of the churches around the country and their facilities. We had done some research and how many of them had actually hired professional custodial businesses to actually clean their church. And we decided not to do that because our custodians pray for the sick. They cast out devils. They do all kinds of stuff that you don't get those other guys to do. And so ours come with full service, clean toilets, and clean you out too if you need it. So I love it so much. I said all that because I feel like I'm just supposed to announce the Lord is releasing over us a corporate anointing, not just individual, but a corporate anointing. And I don't know when, but I'm looking for a time to minister on successive Sunday mornings on the subject of healing again, because I believe the Lord is going to release something over us as a church family to see this thing upped. And before, we're going to have a fire tunnel and all tonight, but before we do, we're going to pray for each other. And what I want to do is I want us to pray for two things. I want us to pray for that healing anointing to minister to people, for that to increase. I want an upgrade. I want an upgrade. I'm so thankful for what I've seen. It's way more than I ever thought I'd ever get to see. But I have had dreams since then. And what I've seen will not do. I've got to see more. So we're going to pray for that, the anointing on us, but also the corporate mantle. We had somebody visit us from another country, and they were also here to kind of check Bethel off the list. And they were sitting back over in the back here somewhere. And they were very, very active in sports, very athletic, but had to quit all sports. They sold all their kayaking equipment, everything, because they had such a serious injury to their shoulder. So he's in the worship time, enjoying the worship, and then somebody comes along and spills hot coffee all over his shoulder, and he turns to see who was so clumsy, and there's no one there, and he realizes he just got healed, and he was completely healed, because the fire of God fell out of him, healed him. Right back over here, during worship, we had esophagus cancer healed. The doctor told her, this kind doesn't disappear. And then he examined her and he said, not only do you not have cancer anymore, you have a brand new esophagus. And right over here, MS was healed. And right over here, a woman came out of a wheelchair after being in a wheelchair for 38 years in a wheelchair. Just get up. Person after person after person. Right here, colon cancer. From a gang member from another city. He heard that Jesus still heals and was doing it here, so he drove some distance, he got healed, and he went back to evangelize the gangs in his region, gang leader, and Jesus healed him. I'm so thankful for all these things, but there are so many more that wheel in and wheel out. Come in with horrible conditions and leave in the same condition. I'm grateful for every miracle, but we are so far from arriving. And I want us to really contend for that. What I'd like to have happen before we pray for each other and do the fire tunnel is I need to hear at least three really good testimonies of what just happened. Why don't you come on up? Yeah, you come on up here. Okay, Chris, would you help me out here? Yeah, you come on up. Yeah, I want you to interview him down here. I'm sorry, I could have handed that to you. Yeah, just come on down. There we go. There's three real quick ones. All right. All right, come. All right. Sure, three. The three is growing. This is. Yeah, come on. Come on over here. The last meeting I was in, it was all men giving testimony. I was in Switzerland or something. Now it's all women. Did any guys get healed or just wasn't? Yeah, yeah. All right. What did Jesus do? Just tell them what Jesus did for you.
So I had ADHD. And I had the first healing here a year and a half ago, and I was I could function, but I was asking God, when will I be healed fully? Because I knew that I was not fully healed. So I came also last week to the healing conference, and yesterday or the day before, God told me He would heal me totally from my ADD because I still had ADD. I was not hyperactive anymore, but I still had ADD. Uh-huh. And I see more clearly now. The fog is gone. And to me, it's a confirmation from what He said and what you called out.
The cloudy.
Yeah, the cloudy.
Yeah, you put your hand up for that one. Yeah,
because
I remember.
I had multiple hit on the head.
Tonight?
No. Before.
Oh, hits! I thought you said heat. I'm sorry.
That's what caused.
Nobody hit you tonight, though. That's good. That's good.
That's what caused the. The multiple hit on the head caused ADHD, actually.
Okay. All right.
So it was not.
So that trauma has ended then. Is
yes.
that right?
Yes. Yes.
Now. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you actually got healed tonight from some sort of a head trauma issue? The confusion, the whatever. With any learning disorder, any dyslexic conditions healed? Wave a hand at me right back here. Is that you? Right over here, another one. Another one over here. Another one there. Another one there. Wow, there. Another one here. Another one here. Another. That's like 10 with... learning disorders got healed. Isn't that, it's extraordinary. Did you feel anything happen when you were healed?
Yes, I started seeing clearer, more clearly.
That's awesome.
And I just want to encourage you to perceive for the full healing, even though it's not coming right away, but just to perceive, because yeah. God is faithful. He is.
Amen. Preach, that's good. All right, that was good. Yeah, Chris, stand on the side here. Yeah, just stand to the stand to the side of them so everybody can see. Thank you.
There we go. We got this here. Okay, so Bill called out deviated septum, and I've had it since I was a little kid, and I had got hit in the face and broken nose. So tonight, when he called it out, they prayed for me. It opened up, and then I felt the Lord shift my nose, so the whole bone structure shifted.
Wow.
Sounds
awesome. So you can breathe. Come on. That's so cool.
So good.
Woo! That's so good. I actually know of one case of that where the person sneezed. This is going to sound a little strange. Sneezed and out came particles of bone and they were healed. So Jesus does it in different ways. You got the easy way right there. That's it. I'd rather not sneeze bone fragments. Go ahead. What did Jesus do?
Okay. Well, I have to back up the story a little bit. In January, a gal that works for me, I've never been here, a gal that works for me said, you shouldn't go to Bethel. You need to go to Bethel. And I was having a lot of pain. And then the next day on a plane, she messaged me and said, you know, you need to reach out to Sarah Jane. Our friend is there now and you can go visit her in Bethel. So I said, okay, I promise I'm not going to put this off. And so I messaged her, and then I'm like, okay, Lord, if you really want me to go, then you'll just show it and confirm it and make, you know, just make it plain to me, and I'll be obedient. And that morning before I had gotten the plane, I was on my knees, and I said, Lord, I know you're such a good God. I just ask for healing. I just need you to heal. And so when I got off the plane, I got off last because I couldn't lift my bag, and so I was the last one moseying off the plane. And so I never fly United, never. I live in Orange County. I'm always flying a different airline, and I happened to get off of United, and the first person that was standing right there to get on the plane was you in January. And I was like half asleep, just
me
from Orlando.
Me and United are like this. We spend a lot of time together. Yes.
So, which I found out, obviously, because it's the only airline here, right?
That was Orange County, yes.
Yes, in January.
I remember.
And
I remember you.
And
I remember, yes.
So, a couple weeks ago, that friend messaged me and said, did you ever go to Bethel? And I said, no, I promise, I'm going to go. Just I don't have time. I've been working. And my daughter pulled up a property. She was like, Mom, I really want to go look at this land up in, it's in Reading. And I said, oh, I think that's where Bethel is. And she's like, we should go. You know, River doesn't have school on Monday. And I was like, okay, well, let's just ask the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord said, come. And so, yeah, whoever said about the shoulder, I couldn't touch this bone. Just this much pressure before I came. It's just been really bad. It's just got to the place where it's hard for me to, you know, type or anything. And it was just really, really, really painful. And I was one of the ones that raised me before you even prayed it.
Before I even prayed. Oh, come on. That's so good. Good to see you again. That's so cool. Come on. Beautiful. Bless the Lord. What did Jesus do for you?
Oh, so much. I was a mess, seriously. My friend and I is sitting over there. We drove all night from Canada for this divine appointment.
Wow.
I'm telling you, and I'm kind of bleary-eyed, but... I had an assignment against me about 2 years ago. People kept hitting me with cars, running through stop signs, you know, copying you, smash. I totaled one car after another. And of course I ended up with rotator cuff injury that's really painful and back pain that's just like somebody stabbing me in the back. And I had it on the way here because of course the enemy was trying to discourage me. Anyway, I also have dyslexia and chronic fatigue syndrome, but I'm being healed from the chronic fatigue already. So I got finished with the healing for the chronic fatigue and the dyslexia, and I know I got healed because I felt the anointing. It's still going up and down my legs even, and I started at my head. And I got the rotator cuff injury is totally healed.
Come on.
And the back pain is totally gone.
The back pain is gone too. So you got an overhaul.
I got an overhaul.
Come on. That's worth a
That's
drive from
I
Canada.
Had to test
That's
it.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, bless you. Thank you. Such good news. All right, one more.
I just want to say I got prayed for my brain for trauma, and I've got more clarity, and it also helped me with my prophetic gift to see again.
Like, say it again.
It also helped me with my prophetic gift because I wasn't, and now I could actually see pictures again and
that's wonderful.
The prophetic.
Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Let's stand together. All right, we're going to have a fire tunnel here tonight, but I want us to pray together first. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the righteousness of God to be displayed. You know, the holiness of God is such a beautiful treasure. I cringe every time I hear people use the word holy in a slang fashion. I know it's not meant as a bad thing, but no one who understands the holiness of God, the beauty of holy, will ever put that word with the word crap and think it's okay. Because it's not. It's not all right. It's not good to treat the absolute essence of God's person and nature in that way. And I don't mean any condemning way. I'm just saying, you know what? Let's learn to burn with affection for that so that we can see his affection for the demonstrations of power. I don't mean we earn it, but I mean they do to go together. And I feel like the Lord wants to release a greater mantle over the house for this area of holiness, the delight in his beauty, but also the delight in his power. So grab a hand, because we're going to pray for one another in this tonight. We're going to pray. I want you just to pray. Ask the Lord, God, increase the anointing on me, but also on this house. On this house. Let it be as they come through the doors that deliverance and healing will take place. Increase this, Lord. The mantle of anointing, the mantle of healing. God, we look for a corporate anointing. Something that's bigger than any of us. A corporate mantle. Pray for that person on your right and left to have a deep, profound affection for holiness, the holiness of God, the beauty of his own person, the beauty of his own nature. Just pray for that the best you know how. Stir up affection for this in us, God. To burn for what you burn for. Now pray for one more thing. I want you to pray for the ones on your right and left to have the wisdom and grace to enter into divine health. That would be something that would actually rest upon us as a church family and on the body of Christ of our city. Divine health, let it be our portion. Divine health. Divine health. God, show us the mysteries of Scripture where you have hidden the secrets of divine health. Open our eyes to see. Let us move from knowledge into conviction, Lord. From knowledge into conviction, where the release of purity and power is more substantial and more complete. We ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. All right. You know, as you remember, even just driving around downtown, if you want to study interesting prayer life, look at Nehemiah. I believe in taking time with God. But Nehemiah's prayers were one-sentence prayers, and the one sentence shaped the course of history.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to lift up the one-sentence prayers. You're driving down the street, God, release divine health over the house. And then drive to the store. Do what you're going to do. But let's just do it. All right. I want ministry team come to the front. Come on up quickly. And we're going to do a fire tunnel. If you need to go, certainly free to go. Otherwise, wait for instructions here. Gabe will tell you what to do.